Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word, means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people with a middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Joan Hunter, comes from such a tough poverty background. And God has taught her what he calls the patterns to follow. And if you follow the pattern that God has outlined in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, you will be blessed so that you can be a blessing in these last days. God is going to turn everything around in your life. And the scripture we ended with yesterday when I was interviewing Joan Hunter is Deuteronomy 8:18. And it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Joan Hunter, what is God saying to us in this scripture?
So often people read that scripture, God has given me wealth, and it says God has given me the power to get wealth. He's given you the power, the wisdom, the knowledge to get wealth, not just in the natural knowledge, but he will give you in the spirit knowledge, Ephesians 1:17 through 19, that he's going to give you a greater spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That pertains to finances. He's going to give you witty inventions.
By the way, speaking of inventions, you were talking about someone from Texas that only went to the ninth grade, and he had a dream about some new equipment to invent. Tell me about him.
He's an awesome guy. His name is Keith Miller. He's an evangelist here, and he is such a neat guy. And he was talking about how God had given him a dream, which is dream in Texan. And he said, you know, he sat down and he drew the dream out, and it was a piece of machinery. So he found some engineers, and they said, "This is absolutely the most incredible piece of machinery I have ever seen in my entire life. Where did you get your engineering degree?" And he says, I got it in a dream. It's like, I've not heard of that school. What school? And he goes, dream, you know. And they finally understood that he got it in a dream. And he says, I don't know if he finished even the ninth grade of education, but he's a very knowledgeable man, you know, he's authored and everything now. But God gave him this dream, which helped bring millions of dollars into him and his ministry. And don't depend on your education. I have another lady friend who, after listening to my seminar on finances and the CD on end time economics, she got a hold of this revelation. She says, "God's going to give me, this is so exciting, God's going to give me a witty invention. I'm a hairdresser. I'm going to design a whole new line of hair color." That's the natural man. And so she's so excited about the dream and the vision and the chemicals and the bio and the chemistry that's going to be involved in the new hair color and da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden God says, you know, gives her a dream about a machine for an ophthalmologist. I'm like, I don't even know how to spell ophthalmologist. You know, she has this piece of machinery. She takes it to a group of ophthalmologists, and they said, "This is incredible. We need to market it to every single ophthalmologist in the world." You know, and where did you get it? I, once again, got it in a dream. "Well, what we want to do is we want to offer you, I know this is really, really low, but we want to offer you, you know, it's really low to begin with, but this is just the beginning. We want to offer you $20 million for your idea."
You know, I understand why you don't like to look at the news on television and hear the gloom and doom, which is that anyone watching the news is going to come up with gloom and doom. You've got too many good things to look at.
I agree. We need, see, so many people are lining up with the world instead of the word. And you listen to the news, oh, this is so horrible, what's happening. You know, I sit at the airport waiting for my multiple plane trips. That's when I listen to the news. Now, I'm aware pretty much of what's going on. But for me to sit there and listen to the news, I get on the plane and I start hitting the side of my head trying to get the junk out, number one. Number two, I put my hand and raise it over my head like a razor and go, in the name of Jesus, I cut those words off. That is not affecting my house. That is not affecting my ministry. That is not affecting my life. It's not affecting my children's life. And I cut those words off in Jesus' name. They have no power over me or my family or any of these ministries in Jesus' name. So many ministries are cutting back and saying, how are you handling all these people that you're having to let go because of finances? I'm like, I'm not letting them go because of finances, you know, and then we're expanding, we're building, you know.
You know, the same thing is going on in our ministry, too. I believe, this is what I believe with all of my heart, Joan. There is a shift going on in ministry now. And God, those that are not walking holy are going to be demoted, if you will, and suffer the way the world is, and those that are walking in holiness, God's going to elevate right now.
I totally agree with you. And God is watching out over his children. And it is so incredible. There's a scripture that I absolutely love, and it's in the New Living Translation. And it is Ephesians 2, verse 7. So God can always point to us as an example of his incredible wealth, favor, and kindness in all he has done for us through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to be an example of his incredible wealth, of his favor and kindness in all he has done for me through Christ Jesus.
Well, Joan, this is a question that many people ponder. Here in America, the land of opportunity, we see a lot of people that prosper. But what about a third world country? Someone that can't put two dimes together. How does studying the pattern and the principles in the Bible with finance affect them? Do you have any firsthand experience?
I have incredible firsthand experience. Actually, I have one and Mom's got one. But like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, sometime in the past, I went to Haiti right after the earthquake. And we went down there, cursed the spirit of trauma, commanded it to go, and millions of sicknesses have been prevented because of the trauma going. Millions of people got saved. And I was teaching the pastors, about 1,000 pastors down there. And I said, the word of God works in Haiti like it does in America. It's, you know, Ephesians 2, verse 7, Deuteronomy 8, 18, those different scriptures, Philippians 4, 19, my God's going to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Those apply here in Haiti just like they do in America. Don't be looking at rich American Christians. Look at rich Haiti Christians that God wants to raise up. And I did my teaching, and you know, we weren't going to receive any offerings and all that kind of stuff. And you know, and all of a sudden we're singing praise and worship, getting ready to go have lunch. And the people started, God moved on them. They started bringing money up to the platform. They would empty their pockets out, everything they had left.
You mean they caught the scripture? You didn't even have to say anything?
They would empty their pockets of everything, and it would be the equivalent of 2 cents for us. And they emptied it, and we had hats to, you know, for shade on, and we just used hats for offering buckets. And then 700, 800 people were flooding to the front. It was, I mean, I'm up there weeping and weeping because it's like, God, they got it. They got it. And prayer is that you that are listening will get that God wants to take care of you. He cares about your every need. And as they're walking back to their seats, their cell phones were going off with jobs. And money is pouring in. The church that we go under, the pastor, when we go to Haiti, his church just raised in 3 months an extra $25,000 over and above tithes and offerings for their new expanded building. In Haiti, it's a church of 1,000 people.
Tell me briefly a story of a third world country that your parents were involved with.
That is Ukraine. They went over to Ukraine years and years and years ago, probably 25, 30 years ago. And it was so impoverished at the time. They said, everybody can take 2 suitcases, one personal and one of clothes to take over there and to leave. And so everybody got over there, and Mom preached, you know, prosperity at God's way, and not the spirit of greed, but the spirit of giving. And so they were talking about that, and people were getting it, and they had given in the offerings, you know, and that type of thing. And they came home, and then they went back a year later, told everybody, take a second suitcase of clothes that you could leave over there. And they get over there, and people are driving up in Mercedes, Cadillacs. It's like, are we in the right place? And
this is Ukraine, where you had to stand in lines to 5-10 blocks long to get one can of beans. That's how poverty-stricken they were.
Right, and it was unbelievable. And then we get in, and the people there, they've got, you know how women, sometimes they'll have a suit, and they'll have a matching purse, and they're going to have matching shoes, and they're going to have a matching hat, not to mention the gloves. They were looking really, really fine. And it was like, Mom's like going, what happened? And they go, we got the message. We caught the vision you were talking about last year. And those people, the people that brought all the extra clothes, took them home, gave them to Goodwill, you know, or another organization.
If these principles can operate in the third world country, they can operate no matter what happens to the economy in the United States. And the thing is, Joan, that when people read your book and listen to your two CDs, just average people can move into this realm. You have the faith. You have actually tested God's word. You have seen that it works. And your faith is contagious. And there are a lot of people listening to us right now that need a contagious faith that God wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, the book is called Supernatural Provision, Financial Freedom. And the two CDs are End Time Economics and Financial Freedom. They're loaded with testimonies of everyday average people. Then Joan is going to break the spirit of poverty and pray a supernatural prayer for you to walk into God's destiny for you. We're making this entire package available for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.